Since the election of Donald Trump in November, everyone wants to know what's wrong with the white working class. The most dominant question being, did the white working class vote for or against their economic interests? In his recent article, The Invention of the White Working Class, Les Leopold, executive director of the Labor Institute, looks at the debate with an eye on historical definitions and social construction of race. This is an abridged version of a much longer article published on Huffington Post, 12/21/16. History warns us to be very careful when using the phrase white working class. It concerns the changing historical definitions of who is white. Eduardo Porter in the New York Times uses this construction to ask, quote, did the white working class vote its economic interests? Claiming that data shows white people losing out to blacks and Hispanics in getting their fair share of new jobs created since 2007. Porter further argues that this is happening because blacks and Hispanics live mostly in thriving urban areas, while most white people live in declining rural areas, and therefore believes that the white working class flocked to Trump as a way to protest their economic decline. But this conclusion is flawed. Neither the studies nor Porter provide a definition of white working class. Is it all white people? Does it include management, professionals? No evidence that the actual work experiences of white and black working people are starkly different, and no matter how the class is defined. Rural America is not lily white. Hispanics and African Americans make up a total of 17.5% of rural and small town America. Research shows that working people as a whole, defined as the 85% of us who are production and non-supervisory employees, have seen their real wages fall since the late 1970s, all shades, all colors. And finally, most of the new jobs created are low-wage, part-time service sector jobs, jobs that often pay poverty wages. So getting the lion's share of these jobs is not a pathway to prosperity. What these studies and reports do accomplish, however, is to sound the latest dog whistle about race in America. They create an image in our minds of a coherent white working class hunkered down in the declining manufacturing sector, white rural workers who have needs and interests different from black and brown urban workers. In doing this, the image feeds into a long history of white working class creationism that divides working people by race. A dramatic redefinition of white took place during the late 19th and early 20th centuries as mass immigration and colonialization expanded. So-called race scientists studied cranial size and shapes, skin color, and hair texture to create a biology of race. By 1911, the U.S. Immigration Commission published its Dictionary of Races and Peoples, listing 29 separate races. Race science defined white as a narrow category that excluded virtually everyone who didn't come from Northern Europe. By the First World War, U.S. immigration policy was informed by IQ tests given to immigrants on Ellis Island that supposedly showed, quote, 80% of Russians, 83% of Jews, 80% of Hungarians, and 79% of Italians were feeble-minded. These race scientists created a vast hierarchy of race for a Pittsburgh steel company in 1926. It is based on the idea that each race, by its intrinsic nature, possesses certain skills and attributes that make it suitable to certain work tasks. This science, quote-unquote, provided the rationale for dividing the workforce by ethnic group, which had the added virtue of weakening worker solidarity and keeping unions at bay. This became particularly acute after 4 million workers went on strike at the end of World War I. The largest strike involved 350,000 steelworkers that finally collapsed after 14 weeks of pitched battles. It is highly likely that the skills chart was designed to prevent such a resurgence. A confluence of events rapidly changed the definition of white in the 1930s and 40s. The rise of American industrial unionism successfully organized, quote, unskilled immigrant workers, blacks, and Hispanics into broad-based unions. The mobilization for World War II further melded together all the, quote, lower ethnic groups except for black, brown, and yellow. And after the atrocities at the Nazi death camps were revealed, The earlier race science industry was thoroughly discredited. What causes the definition of race to change? The definition of white and race in general depends on the needs of the most powerful elements in society. To justify slavery and Jim Crow, race science gave Southern elites a justification for denying human rights to millions with darker skin colors. To successfully mobilize America against the, quote, master race and yellow peril during World War II, American leaders permitted white to be broadened to include most of what previously had been considered lesser races. However, racist Southern Democrats and their lockdown control of Congress made sure that black and brown people were denied New Deal benefits and therefore would continue to suffer as separate races. The Japanese internment camps further heightened the idea of a separate race of, quote, Orientals. Is race real? Citing the article Confusions About Human Races by R.C. Lewontin, Leopold continues, every effort to construct a black or white race through genetics has failed. No one yet has found a gene that signals a separate race. 85% of all genetic variation among people within a population and only 15% of the variation among humans is between different populations and continents. Biologically speaking, the old cliche is true. There is only one race, the human race. What is race? Over a century ago, W.E.B. Du Bois put forth perhaps the clearest, most exact definition of race. Quote, a Negro is a person who must ride Jim Crow in Georgia. He understood, as we should, that race always is a social construction, a human invention used to create a hierarchy of power. It is not genetics, it is not biology, and in the case of the white working class, it's not even accurate sociology. Drop the dubious white working class construction, and we'll see that it's not whether the imagined white working class voted for its own economic interests by voting for Trump. Rather, the real question is it even possible for working people of all kinds to vote their economic interests given the corporate orientation of both parties? The invention of the white working class can be found online at Huffington Post, 1221-16. Les Leopold is the director of the Labor Institute. His new book is Runaway Inequality, An Activist Guide to Economic Justice. This has been Denise Morris for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm going to tell all you fascists, you may be surprised. People all over this world are getting organized to bound to lose. You fascists are bound to lose. Race hatred cannot stop us.